Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and we want to read verse 42. Matthew 12 and verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When Jesus made this particular statement, he was responding to some people who wanted to see a sign from him. We learn that from verse 38. The scribes and the Pharisees approached the Lord and said that they wanted to see a sign from him. I find that to be very interesting because Jesus had been traveling from place to place, city to city, village to village, and he had been healing people of all of their diseases. He performed a variety of miracles. Of course, those miracles proved that Jesus is the Son of God. People who observed those miracles were having evidence presented to them to prove that the Lord is the Son of God and that he's to be listened to. Well, these people who made that request weren't concerned about listening to Jesus. It just appears from this request that they made that they wanted the Lord to entertain them. Master, we would see a sign from you. Well, Jesus had already performed all types of signs and miracles, proving that he's the Son of God. It's unfortunate, but the people who made that request would not listen to the Lord. Jesus first showed that the people of Nineveh repented when Jonah preached to them. He dealt with that in verses 39 to 41. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. The Lord was going to use the Assyrian people to punish the children of Israel in the northern kingdom because they had drifted so far away from him. But the Assyrians were heathen people. So what did God do? He sent them a prophet. He sent Jonah. Now, Jonah at first did not want to go there. As a matter of fact, he went in the opposite direction. But after spending a few days in the belly of the great fish, he changed his mind. He went to Nineveh. He preached the message that God gave to him. And the entire city repented, from the king on down. Well, I find that to be very interesting. God sent Jonah to Nineveh. He preached to heathen people. They listened to him. But what about the people who made this request for Jesus to perform a sign for them? They weren't interested in listening to the Lord. They wanted the Lord to entertain them. Now, Jesus let these people know that someone greater than Jonah was right there in their presence. Of course, he was referring to himself. Can you see the reasoning that the Lord was using? If the people of Nineveh, who were heathen people, could listen to Jonah, then certainly these scribes and Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the Jews, should have known to listen to the Lord, but they wouldn't listen to him. Then Jesus mentioned the Queen of Sheba. In verse 42, he indicated that she traveled a long distance to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And Jesus went on to say that he's greater than Solomon. Let's read about that event in 1 Kings chapter 10. Let's begin at verse 1 and read down through verse 7. Of course, Solomon became the king of Israel after his father David passed away. 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, thy half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." Now here we have the Queen of Sheba traveling a long distance to hear Solomon. She listened to him. And Solomon told her everything that she wanted to know. I've often wondered what kind of questions she had for Solomon, but remember the Lord had blessed him with great wisdom. And she was just amazed at the wealth of Solomon as well as his great wisdom. Now, she'd heard about his greatness, but she indicated that the half had not been told her. So she was really impressed with Solomon's greatness. She traveled a long distance to hear what he had to say. Now remember, Jesus was responding to those people who wanted him to perform a sign for them. They were not interested in listening to the Lord. He first talked about Jonah and the people of Nineveh, showing that he's greater than Jonah. Certainly those people would want to listen to the Lord, but they didn't. Well, then the Lord talked about the Queen of Sheba. She traveled a long distance to listen to Solomon. She received answers to all of the questions that she had in her heart. Now let's apply that to what was taking place. Jesus was responding to those people who wanted him to perform a sign for them. They were not interested in listening to what he had to say. I think you can once again see the line of reasoning that the Lord was using. If the Queen of Sheba traveled such a long distance to listen to Solomon, then you would think that these people would listen to what the Lord had to say. They weren't interested in listening to what he had to say. All they wanted was the Lord to perform a sign for them. Since we're talking about the greatness of Solomon, let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 4 for just a moment. 1 Kings chapter 4. Let's read a few verses starting at verse 29. Before the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, these verses give us an idea of how great and how wise he was. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beast, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom." It would have been interesting to sit and talk to Solomon. We would say it would be interesting to pick his brain, like the Queen of Sheba did, to ask him some questions. But there wasn't a single question that Solomon couldn't answer because God blessed him abundantly with great wisdom. But Solomon was a very great man. And I want you to notice that as he taught, he spoke on a variety of subjects. The writer says he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. So while Solomon was communicating wisdom from God, he spoke on all of these subjects. I can't help but think that he was using these objects as illustrations. One of my favorite passages is Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Notice how Solomon often referred to various things that were familiar to the people to illustrate the importance of the message he was presenting. Well, the other day, I was reading about Solomon, and I noticed that he spoke on all these different subjects. And I thought, you know, Solomon and the Lord had something in common. They both spoke on a variety of subjects as they were illustrating great messages. Over and over again, Solomon did that. As you examine the Lord's teaching, you can't help but see that he did the same thing. Well, Jesus in Matthew 12 indicated that he was greater than Solomon. Solomon was great, but Jesus is far greater. Well, because Jesus is greater than Jonah and Solomon, we have to listen to him. The writer of Hebrews began his book in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, by showing that Jesus is God's spokesman today. And when Jesus was transfigured in Matthew chapter 17, there was a voice from heaven which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So Solomon has great wisdom that he can teach us in his books of wisdom, but the Lord is far greater. We need to avoid the mistake made by those people who wanted to see a sign. We need to listen carefully to what our Lord has to say. He is God's spokesman today, and he often used illustrations to help us understand exactly what he was teaching. Well, in our lesson, we want to listen to our Lord as he dealt with a particular subject in his Sermon on the Mount. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And we want to let the Lord teach us about how to avoid anxiety or worry. And as we pay close attention to what Jesus said, you will see that he mentioned a number of subjects. Remember, Solomon in his teaching dealt with a number of subjects that were familiar to the people. Well, Jesus spoke about things such as food, drink, clothing, birds, stature or height, lilies, heathens, and the kingdom of God. Jesus touched on all of those subjects as he was teaching his followers to avoid anxiety or worry. The other day I was watching some program on TV, I don't remember what it was, and there was a commercial. Now, I have to admit, most of the time when commercials come on, I use that wonderful mute button on my, I'll call it my Terminator, the remote control. The mute button is a wonderful invention. I wish I had invented it. I usually don't listen to commercials. There are a few that are pretty good, but most of the time, they're not worth listening to. I haven't actually heard the words to this particular commercial, but from the words that appear on the screen, it has to do with being calm and avoiding anxiety. avoiding worry. Well, we have a problem in our society today with anxiety and worry. All we have to do is listen to what the Lord said. Now, we can't be like those people who only wanted to see a sign from the Lord. We have to actually listen to what he said, understand it, and then put it into practice. I've always been impressed with the fact that in that great Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus devoted a portion of it to anxiety and how to overcome it. And we've dealt with these matters before, but apparently they're receiving some attention right now in our society, so maybe it will help us to be aware of them. Maybe we can share these things with other people. Let's read from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat or food, and the body than raiment or clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow was cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus began this portion of his sermon in verse 25 by telling his followers not to be anxious over the necessities of life. Now, when Jesus said, take no thought for your life, he was teaching us to avoid being filled with care or anxiety over things such as food, drink, and clothing. Whenever I read those words of our Lord, I can't help but think about my mother, and eventually she would put us in our proper places, but it seemed like many times we wouldn't finish one meal before we were asking her about what we were going to have for the next meal. I'm surprised she didn't quote this verse to us. My grandmother probably would have. She had some other words for us, though. Bless her heart, we just worried her to death. What are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? Before finishing one good meal, already worried about the next one. Well, we can expect things like that out of immature kids, but you would think mature adults would do better. Jesus was teaching his followers not to be burdened down with anxiety or worry over things such as food, drink, and clothing. And that's the way Jesus began this portion of his sermon. He said, just don't do it. He said, don't be filled with worry or anxiety over things such as the necessities of life. But the Lord didn't stop there. He went on to explain why we must avoid being anxious over such things. He gave us six reasons. Number one, in the latter part of verse 25, Jesus asked a question to show that our lives are more valuable than food and clothing. Now, we know that we have to have food and clothing to live. We understand that, and God understands that. However, as we live this life, we're actually living to fulfill a much higher purpose. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Yes, we have to have food and clothing to live, and God understands that. But we also need to keep in mind that we live this life to fulfill a much higher purpose. That is to fear God and keep his commandments. Reason number 2 in verse 26. These are reasons why we must avoid worrying over the necessities of life. In verse 26, Jesus taught that we're more valuable than the animals that God has created. Now specifically, he mentions the birds of the air, and he said that the Father feeds them. But Jesus went on to ask a question to show that people are more valuable than birds. Now, this is not the only time that Jesus dealt with that issue. Look at Matthew chapter 10, and let's read verse 29. Matthew 10 and verse 29. Are not sparrows sold for, or not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Now, from a monetary standpoint, sparrows are not worth very much. But even though that's the case, Jesus said that the Father knows when one little insignificant sparrow falls to the ground. That's not all that God knows. Look at verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I'm constantly reminded that my number is changing all the time. But then look at what the Lord said in verse 31. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus was teaching in his great sermon that we should not be filled with worry over things such as the necessities of life, because we're more valuable than the animals that God created. God feeds the animals, doesn't he? He sees to it that they eat. Won't he see that human beings made in his image will have sufficient to eat? God will bless his faithful children with the things that we need. This is the lesson that David taught in Psalm 37 and verse 25. This is a great statement that David made. It's one that we need to keep in mind all the time. Psalm 37 and verse 25. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David looked over his long life, and there's something he had never seen. He had never seen the righteous being forsaken by God, or God's children begging bread. Well, if God feeds the animals that he has created, then certainly he will see to it that his children, human beings, are blessed with the things that we need. A third reason why we need to avoid being filled with anxiety over the necessities of life is given in verse 27. Jesus indicated that worry won't change anything. Now, Jesus asked a question to show that a person cannot change his height by worrying about it. When he mentioned stature, he was talking about our height. by worrying about how tall a person is, will that change his height? No. Rather than be filled with anxiety over such things, it will help us to follow the instructions given to us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but this is the alternative. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Those are some good instructions for us to follow. Let's look at a fourth reason in the Sermon on the Mount concerning why we're not to be filled with anxiety over things such as the necessities of life. In verses 28, 29, and 30, Jesus taught that we're more valuable than the plants that God has created. Now, Jesus referred to the lilies of the field. We're familiar with the fact that the lilies of the field do not toil. They do not spin. Furthermore, they're here today and gone tomorrow. They don't last very long. But when Jesus was illustrating the beauty of the lilies of the field, he mentioned the glory of Solomon. When you read about Solomon in 1 Kings, you can't help but be impressed with his wealth and his greatness. People were impressed when they came to visit him. But even Solomon in all of his glory could not be compared to the beauty of a little plant. I can't help it. I've mentioned this before. But every time I read about the lilies of the field, I think about a community where we lived in West Tennessee, and behind the house where we lived, there was a field that was filled with buttercups. You might know them better as daffodils. But every spring they came up. And to see that field just filled with those little yellow buttercups, and I've seen them push up through the snow, seen that many times. When springtime arrives, they come up, but they don't last very long. But if you take the time just to look at one very carefully, they're gorgeous. To us, they might seem to be rather insignificant, but they're gorgeous. Now, if God will take care of the plants that he created, like he does, then certainly he will see that his children made in his image will have sufficient clothing. Reason number 5 in verses 31 and 32 of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus indicated that his people are to have higher priorities than heathen people. Now, when he mentioned Gentiles, he was talking about heathen people. And the Lord indicated that heathen people are consumed with things such as the necessities of life. Now, God knows that we need these things, and he will see to it that we have them. But while heathen people are obsessed with worrying over things such as the necessities of life, our Lord said, surely God's children have higher priorities than heathen people. Well, we need to remember that. If we get caught up in worrying about things such as this, who are we imitating? We're imitating heathen people who don't even believe in God. Well, surely we have priorities that are higher than heathen people. And then Jesus gave a sixth reason for not being filled with worry over the necessities of life in verse 34. He indicated that we have enough to be concerned about today without being filled with anxiety over tomorrow. Now, we need to keep in mind that the Bible teaches that we are to work to supply our needs, our personal needs, as well as the needs of our families. However, even as we work. We're to trust God to provide our daily needs. What did Jesus teach his followers to pray earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, in the model prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. We need to trust God to provide the daily needs that we have. Well, the Lord began this portion of his sermon by teaching his followers not to be filled with anxiety over things such as the necessities of life. And then he gave six reasons for following that word of instruction. And then we need to look at verse 33. In verse 33 of Matthew 6, Jesus gave the keys to overcoming anxiety. He first said, don't be filled with anxiety. Then he gave six reasons for avoiding that practice. Well, what's the alternative? Verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first. In other words, they're to be our top priorities. And Jesus said that God will bless those who do so with the things that we need. Solomon was great. There's no doubt about that. We can read about his greatness in the Old Testament. But we need to remember that Jesus is greater. What we need to do is listen to him and follow his instructions. Now, why did Jesus talk about Solomon in Matthew 12? It was because there were some people who said, Master, we would see a sign from you. In other words, perform a miracle for us. They were more concerned about being entertained than they were about listening to the gracious words that proceeded from the mouth of our Lord. Now, these people made a serious mistake. But I'm glad that we can read in the gospel accounts how multitudes followed the Lord wanting to hear what he had to say. Mark tells us that the common people heard him gladly. Luke tells us that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Well, we need to approach the Lord and his words the way that those people did in setting those positive examples. We need to avoid being like those religious leaders who approached the Lord and wanted to see a sign. They weren't concerned about what the Lord said. Well, it just seems like if the heathen people of Nineveh would listen to a preacher with an ego problem like Jonah, and if the Queen of Sheba would travel a long distance to listen to Solomon, then certainly we can listen to the Son of God. I'm glad that we have many of our Lord's signs recorded for us in the Bible because they prove to us that he is God's Son. But having been convinced that Jesus is the Son of God, we need to listen to him. That's what the Father said. Hear ye him. God help us to always do that. Now the Lord teaches us how to avoid anxiety. If we'll just listen to what he said, even look up some additional passages. You know, I'm sure Solomon has something to say in his words of wisdom on that same subject. If we will follow these instructions, we'll be the kind of people that the Lord wants us to be. And think about the positive example that we can have before other people.